This is part two of the interview with Angie Van Amen.
Once you secure the listing, what do you do to find a buyer for that property? How do you market that home?
Put it online, put it on a different website, expand the listing, shoot an email to other agents, have an office tour of the property. And I sell quite a few of my own listings. I try to do that. I'll show, like, if it's a four-bedroom, like, 180,000-foot foyer, if it's, like, remotely close to something I'm showing some clients, like, in their price range, it could work for them, and it remotely could work for the people that I'm showing houses to, I'll always show my own listings, even if it's not one that they selected. I mean, I'm not going to show them, like, a $300,000 house and they can only afford $150,000. But you know what I mean? If they're looking for, like, four-bedroom house, up to 180, and they're looking at $175,000 houses and mine for 180, I'll throw it in there and show it to them anyways if it's in the neighborhood. And it's awesome for me because a lot of people buy houses that weren't on their list. They're like, you found this one for us? This wasn't on my list. I love it. I'm like, told ya. Thanks. I thought you would. I love that. That happened to me 2 days ago. I was like, this wasn't on your list, but I think you're going to love it. It might be the house you're going to buy. She walks and she goes, we're buying this house, aren't we? I go, I think so. She goes, me too. I'm like, all right. You want to look around some more? I love it. That's one of my favorite things. And referrals.
You had a high percentage of buyer transactions last year. How many buyers are you currently working with?
That's a good question. Maybe 10, 11.
Why would a buyer hire you? What's your competitive advantage?
I know the market inside and out. And I sold more. I was the top selling listing agent last year. I would have been all in the greater Mankato area. One person beat me for all of the board, like the Southern Minnesota board. And he sells houses that cost less than my car. And he beat me by two transactions. I'm a big numbers person. So I know what I'm doing. And I think people like me because, well, like I get a lot of referrals. So I get a lot of like, you know, oh, she's great, work with her. You don't talk to anybody else. So I get a lot of that, which obviously I really don't have to do anything but my job. I don't have to do like a hard sell on them. But, I mean, I haven't really had anybody that, you know, meets me and absolutely hates me, never wants to work with me. I've actually never had that happen.
In Minnesota, do you practice buyer agency or buyer brokerage?
Buyer rep.
Do you set an appointment before you start showing property to try to establish that buyer rep?
Nope, I do it at the first house. I go over agency and we sign that first contact. But gas is so dang expensive. I don't think people need to drive to my office, meet with me to go over a piece of paper that takes 10 minutes so I could do it at a house. Then drive to a house. I don't have people sign buyer up the first point of contact. Reason being is I would hate that. I would not want to just meet somebody and then be forced to work with them and have to pay them if I didn't want to. You know, I wouldn't want that, so I don't do that to people. If we go out a second, you know, two times, then I bring up the buyer rep, and that's when we sign. The first one's on me.
So the first one you're doing simple disclosure, and the second one you're trying to sign a buyer representation.
Yeah.
Do you have a buyer package, a package of information that you give to the buyer, either before that meeting or at that meeting?
No, I have it all on my website. I tell people any question they have, call me, or you can go to my website and get tons of resources there. I tried that. People don't take it. They don't read it. You know, people are going to Google their own stuff anyways, and why waste the paper?
Let's go back to when you're talking to the buyer on the phone and you're trying to establish the relationship. How detailed do you get in your questions? Do you go into their financing?
No. I ask them if they're pre-approved. If not, I send them. If they say, yep, I'm pre-approved. I'm like, awesome. Can you email me over your pre-approved letter just so I have it on file? They're like, sure, fine. Or can I fax it? Perfect. I'm like, okay, if they're not pre-approved, I'm like, okay. Well, before we go and take a look at houses, check online and see what you like, but also do you have a banker? Do you have a loan officer that you've been talking to? No, I don't. Or yeah, I do. I'm like, okay, great. Maybe set an appointment, go get pre-approved with them, have them send me over the email from my file, and then we'll go check out houses. Or, okay, cool. Well, I can put you in contact with a great loan officer. This guy did my own personal financing on one of the houses I own. Here he is. Give him a call. And he's my go-to guy. Amazing. He will meet people on a Saturday afternoon, bring his computer to my office. He's great. So I won't, I'm too busy to waste my time with people that just want to look at houses. I mean, unless they're pre-approved and ready to spend, you know, the money, what they're looking at, I don't waste my time with it.
So you require that pre-approval letter before you'll show homes?
Yeah. What's the point? I think everyone should. I mean, unless you're not busy and you just want to go look at houses with somebody, I mean, you can do that with a friend. I have too much going on to waste my time with people who couldn't buy the house. I'm not going to waste my time.
You work with a lot of buyers. What other questions do you ask in that preliminary conversation?
All right, so you're looking for a house. What are you looking for today? You know, what are your absolute needs and what are your wants? And I'll take down notes of, like, I take a lot of notes. I have to write everything down, else I forget stuff. I have blonde hair. It just happens that way. So I'll take down notes like 4-bedroom, 3-bath. Okay, is there a particular, we have 2 major high schools in town here. And we have some Catholic and alternative ones. But a lot of people are very specific about what high school their kids go to. We don't have really good open enrollment because a lot of people favor one school over the other. Some people were like, my daughter's going to be in 9th grade. She absolutely has to go to this high school. Like, okay. So that just cuts out a whole part of town. So then, you know, if some people do not care, which is great. Some people want to live in different areas. Like, I really love West Mankato. I love the trail. Well, okay, great. Here we go. You know, so I ask, like, what they absolutely need, how many bedrooms do they absolutely need? They have 4 kids. They probably need, you know, at least 3 bedrooms or 4. You know, probably couldn't go get by with a 2-bedroom house. You know, how many bathrooms can you live with? They'd like 2. They can live with 1. So I ask, you know, what do you absolutely need? What do you want? What's the price point we feel comfortable with? What have you been pre-approved? Who are you working with as a loan officer? That's important to me to know so I know who I'm working with in the future. There's some loan officers that I don't have to do anything with. They're awesome. They totally take care of it. There's other people I have to micromanage. And I have to stay on top of, like, okay, have we gotten underwriting? Are we clear to close? Like, have we gotten these docs? What do we need to do? I'm kind of too busy at the point to have to babysit people. So it's important to me to know who I'm, you know, who they're working with out the shoot. And also kind of, you know, what their situation is, okay? You know, why are you moving? What are you doing? Stuff like that. Then I'm like, all right, great. Have you found any houses that you want to look at? Oh, yes. I'm like, great. Can you email them to me? And they just send me the MLS number. We'll definitely go set up, you know, we'll check them out. So then I always get their name and their phone number and their email address. And then we go over and look. And then I, you know, take a look at what they're looking for. And I always tell people, all right, let's set aside like 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours on, you know, whatever night you're free to go check them out. We'll go look at everyone we can. If you see anything like driving around, if you see anything online, if you have any questions about it, like, go give me a call because there's a really good chance I probably have seen that house. So then I, you know, we do that. I go out and look, and I look and see what they have. And if I or anyone in my company has a house that's similar to what they're looking for in the neighborhood they're looking for but isn't on their list, I'll show it to them anyways. Since we're over there, why not? And I've yet to have a person care that I do that. People actually like it. But yeah, it's kind of what I do.
Do you attend the closings?
Absolutely.
Do you do anything special for your buyer or seller?
I get them a house at a good price, or I sell their house for them.
So you don't provide a gift of any kind at the closing?
No. I don't think it's beneficial. Do you give your hairdresser a gift after she's cut your hair? I think it's pointless. I think it's a waste of money. I don't think someone's going to refer you to people because you bought them a $50 candle or a big mirror. I don't think when they look at it, they go, it's from our agent. I don't think it's beneficial. I'd rather send them, you know, a $5 card in the mail.
You mentioned you have an assistant. Is that correct?
I have a guy that I do have all of my YouTube videos. I used to do it myself, and then I wasn't getting enough sleep. So I hired him. And I have a gal that I have, it's not like a full-time assistant. He's just, that's all he does. I have an assistant who only does open houses for me.
Okay, so you have one assistant that does YouTube videos and a different assistant that does open houses?
I have like my online guy who makes my web videos for me, uploads them. I don't have time to do it. Open houses. I hate them. I think they're pointless, but people like them. So I have my gal who does them for me. So I say I refer to her as my assistant because it's easier than saying this is my open house gal who only does this for me. This is my online guy who does this for me.
Your online guy that does your videos, are you paying him per hour, per project? How are you compensating him?
He gets paid per project.
Is he your employee?
He's contracted. He's not a W-2 under my corporation, no.
And then the open house person, she's another agent in the office?
No, you don't have to be an agent to do them in Minnesota.
How do you compensate her?
Cash money.
So you pay her per open house a flat fee?
Yeah, a couple $100 an open house.
And then any leads that she gathers, she hands off to you?
She just, asks, thank you for stopping by today. Here's a flyer. If you have any questions, please let me know. If you have any questions, she's like, well, here's Angie's card. Please give her a call if you have any questions. If there's an immediate question, she knows she can call me. If it's somebody serious, call me. I'll answer my phone and talk to them. I've got too much going on to sit there for 3 hours to have two neighbors stop by.
How many open houses do you do per week or per month?
I only do them when the Realtor Association had nationwide open house. Well, my sellers knew about it, so they wanted in on it. So I did that, and then we did the citywide open house. And so we did that too.
Okay, but otherwise in your listing presentation, you're telling sellers you're not going to do an open house.
Correct. I'll do one if you want me to, but how many houses have you bought from an open house? And I tell people, if somebody's interested in your house, they're not going to sit and wait for it to be an open house. They're going to either call their agent and get into it, or they're going to call me because my number's on the sign in front of your house, and I'm going to show it to them. Only people that are going to come to the open house are people that are looky-loos, and I don't have time to talk to them.
What type of time management systems do you use to stay on track?
I have a planner. I write everything down in my planner. I don't do on my phone. That annoys me. Everything, I have to write it down, then I remember it more. My friends almost have to schedule time to see me. I have to write, they'll joke, can you write me in your planner for Thursday dinner? I'm like, okay, you're in the planner. But that's just how I do it.
You use a manual written system.
Oh, I'm old school for 26. I have to write it down and see it, or else it's just lost on me.
Do you have a written business plan?
No.
Are there certain numbers that you like to track in your business?
I do. I constantly track what I'm doing. I had a really good year last year, especially being my first year selling it full-time. I track my numbers every quarter from where I was last year to where I am now. I also track the competition as far as companies in general. I don't really track year-end. I'd run numbers on who's, at the top of what and doing whatever. I like to know who the top-selling, top-listing, and top-overall producing agent were last year. Coincidentally, all three of those were in my office. But I like to see kind of year-end where people are, other agents, and I kind of examine what they do.
Are there certain numbers you like to look in your business, like number of leads that come in or number of contracts, number of listings? Is there something you try to watch every day or every week?
No, not really. I pay more attention to where the market numbers are. Every lead I write down in their folder, where it came from, and I do track that. I don't do it daily or weekly by any means.
Angie, what drives you?
I love the idea that the harder I work, the more benefits I reap from it. I've always been a worker. I've worked ever since I could literally, legally work. My dad used to have to drive me to work because I was 15. I think I drove, he rode, shotgun because I had my permit. But that's just how it's been. I don't know. They instilled in me hard work and, making my own money from an early age. So that was always important to me. And it feels good to be really good at what you do. And I don't want to, from coming out the chute with such a great year that I had last year, I don't want to not have that. So I don't really compete with anybody. I compete with myself. And that was what drives me. To outshine myself.
Why are you successful?
I think because I really care about what I do, and people know that. I treat everyone like I would treat my best friend. Selling their house or buying a house. If Meredith's my best friend, if she was, wanted my advice, I'd give her the same advice I'd give everyone else. And I think people know that, and people can relate to me, and I think that's what's been really well for me. I work hard. I know I'm very educated on the market. I know it inside out, but I also treat people the way I'd want to be treated, and I think that's what's helped me be successful.
If you were going to advise a brand new agent in the business, what would you tell them to do first?
Run. I'm just kidding. I actually get that a lot. I think the biggest thing is, one, make sure they have a little bit of money set aside. I think being a part-time agent is very, very difficult to be, like, successful at it. It'd probably fine to do one or two transactions a year, you know, from people you know. But the biggest thing I tell people, too, is if they're just starting out, find a mentor. Find a seasoned agent. I mean, I would shoot for the best agent. And I think they'd help you. Some people are weird. But, like, when I went to New York, I wasn't familiar with it at all. I found the best company, and I did tons of research. I wanted to work for the best company in Manhattan. I wanted to train with the best agents down there. And I did. I was, you know, kind of mentored down there in how to do more of, like, leasing, because I never did that up here. Sales, I knew. But, like, especially, like, if they're coming to Minnesota, I think having a mentor, having somebody go over with them, because you can learn a lot of stuff in class, but class and real world, to me, are night and day different. So the biggest thing would be, like, find a mentor and really, you know, give it 100% and go in and learn as much as you can. And, you know, it's not just simple as just putting up a sign and hoping somebody sells a house. Maybe 20 years ago, not 2011. And research what other people are doing and what's doing it right. And I always, you know, I the saying, like, steal from the best, but make it your own. Find what's successful with other people in different markets. Take what they're doing and turn it so it works for your market, for you and what you do.
Well, Angie, you're on the fast track. Your fast talking, fast thinking, and ability to make fast friends has propelled you to quick success. Your enthusiasm, excitement, and commitment to help others has resulted in a strong referral base. Your first full year in the business has been impressive. Your future looks bright. Thank you again for being our Rising Agent of the Month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.